Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means we're back. It's time for the Weekend Wrap. Very special, special show tonight. We're going to feature very popular WBO World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Ray, the Merciless One, Mercer. We've had Ray on the show before, and he's a part of Heavyweight Kings with Layman Brewster, Chris Bird, and James Toney. These gentlemen are always contributing, both whether it be necessarily in the public eye or otherwise, but they are down for some very great causes. As you know, they've all backed the Puerto Rican Fighters Relief Fund. I'm sure Ray will talk a little bit more about that as we get him in. There's a lot of talk about amateur boxing, especially in the Midwest. Layman, of course, we've been talking about this for a while, challenging my man Buster Douglas down there in Columbus. Along with that, we'll be talking with the co-host here, Mr. Jabron Clement. Jabron, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great, JK, and yourself?
Oh, man, doing great, doing great. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had a show together, man, so good to hear your voice on the line. We will be talking with Mr. Mercer soon. I'm just waiting for him to call in. In the meantime, I was wondering, what did you think of the Cotto decision last night?
It was the right decision. I was satisfied with the outcome. And Cotto said it, you know, make no excuses. You know, the better man beat him last night. Even though he sustained an injury in the middle of the fight, which, you know, I noticed something that was wrong, but I just didn't know exactly what the injury was until after the fight. So I'm pleased with the outcome.
Yeah, with everything that Cotto has contributed to the sport, I was very glad to see that how everything was taken. I mean, there was no big controversy, no big hullabaloo. I mean, you know, Cotto, just like he walked into the ring as Warrior, he left the same way. Any observations you'd like to make on Cotto's last fight or career before we start with Mr. Mercer?
I mean, it was a wonderful career. You can't take nothing away from the guy. He was always willing to take challenges, to test himself, to be great. he liked to walk at the beat of his own drum, later in his career, once he fully took control of his career, I take my hat off that, you know, he wanted things to go his way, and that's what he did. He solidified that. And, you know, I'm just happy that he has his health and strength, and that, you know, him and his family and his wife and kids is, you know, pretty much set for life. And hopefully he invests wisely, and just a great way to just ride off into the sunset. You know, it would have been great to get the W, but at the end of the day, Cotto wasn't one of those guys that was always worried about the W or worried about his old going when he was undefeated. You know, he just liked to give on a great show, a great performance.
Yes, and like we all know, like, you know, like you said, it was very good to see him go out like a warrior, and I appreciate all his contributions. But right now, we should have our guest, special guest tonight, the merciless one, Mr. Ray Mercer. Mr. Mercer, are you there? Like, we had him and we left him. Let's see what's going on there.
Chilling with the champ. Chilling with the champ. Man, we have so much to catch up on. Unboxing is so many topics. Like, you know, when
hello,
when you
yo.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure whether we got in got through to you or not, but once again, let us give you a proper introduction. WBO World Heavyweight Champion, the Merciless One, Mr. Ray Mercer. We're going
to
talk a little bit.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. I got you. We got you. Hey,
oh, I'm glad, man, because I was just sitting here. I just had the 5 minutes out, man. I just went and got me something to eat now, I forgot.
Hey, man, look, we're glad that you decided to spend a few moments of your Sunday evening with us. I'm going to have a couple of
course.
Of yours call in, but I'm going to turn you over to my co-host for a moment here while I get a few guests on the line. Javon, would you like to carry on the conversation with the Merciless One?
Most definitely.
I like that.
Most definitely, JK, but my question is, you getting guests on the line, or you getting more guests on the line?
Oh, yeah, we Mr. Scully is going to be calling in. We got Al Cooper. We got friends calling, man. We got friends calling.
Wow,
that's
okay.
Cool.
This is great. That's great. You know, I just wanted to know, it's been a while since we've done the show, and on Sundays it's Chilling with the Champ, even though we got a champ on the line. So I just know that I need to get ready. But how you doing tonight, champ?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing good.
Did you get the chance to see the closing of a great Hall of Fame career of Miguel Cotto last night?
I did not. Me and my wife, we was out. I did not.
Well, that's understandable. Hey,
yeah.
It costs. Hey, look, it costs to be the boss, and you know.
And you gotta do a happy wife, a happy wife, happy life.
Oh yeah, oh
there
yeah.
You go.
It was a great, entertaining fight. It was back and forth. Both gentlemen hurt each other throughout the fight. No one actually tasted the canvas, but. I would say Cotto was kind of close, maybe two times. Yeah, he was close to going down two times, but the lack of experience from Saddam Ali wasn't able to take advantage of it, because Cotto is such a great veteran that he doesn't carry his emotion on his sleeve. He know how to have that poker face and buy himself some time to recover. So his corner, Saddam Ali corner, was telling him, you got him hurt, you hurting him, you got to stay on top of him. To the point Saddam's father left out the crowd and came to the corner and said, you hurting this guy, you got to knock this guy out, you can do it, you know. He came out. He was a live dog in the fight, and my hat goes off to him. And leading up to the fight, people were saying, you know, it was easy pickings for Cotto, based upon Saddam Ali had been previous knocked out by a lesser of an opponent in Jesse Vargas. What was your thoughts on going into the fight? Did you think Saddam Ali had a fighter's chance to beat Cotto?
Well, it's like this. On that level right there, everybody has a chance. And like I said, I didn't really see the fight, but I just know that Cotto is a great fighter, and Ali is a great fighter. And like I said, I had it to record. I just didn't watch it because I was out. You know, that's, I missed that, but I do have recorded, and I will be checking it out. But I think on boxers, any boxer has a chance on that level, on the level that they're on right now. You know, and Cotto wins, right?
Did Cotto win?
Did he?
No, Cotto lost.
Oh, like I said, I didn't see the fight, man.
No, Cotto lost. Yeah, he lost. He lost. It was a unanimous decision, no split decision. All three judges agreed on the scorecard. And now Saddam Ali is the 154 WBO champion currently right now. And leading into this fight, Saddam Ali was, you know, he was a welterweight. And they weighed in Friday, and surprisingly, it seems that Saddam just made weight. He was 153.5, and Cotto came in, supposedly the bigger guy. He weighed in at 151 pounds. I bring this up to you, champ, because before last night, I noticed that Saddam Ali, when he was at 47, it seemed like his punch resistance might have not been as great. And do you think maybe possibly he was killing himself to make 47, and that could have been one of the things that ended up being a downfall in the fight against Jesse Vargas, where he ended up getting knocked out? By you being a former fighter, do you feel that maybe he possibly was killing himself at 47?
If you can't eat, I'm gonna tell you where you get the power from. I'm a heavyweight, you know them, but those are smaller guys. But I can tell you this from experience: you have to be able to eat to keep your energy up. If you're trying hard and not eating just to make weight and all that, then you're gonna be weak. It's not a good thing. The thing is, get down enough where you're gonna be strong enough. You can eat, and then that way you'll be strong. I mean, if you got to starve to make a weight, then I would go up to the next weight. That's just me. That's the heavyweight talking.
Right.
I would just go right up to the next weight.
Excuse me, gentlemen. First of all, let me get to, one of our good friends of the show and boxing historian, trainer, Mr. John Scully. Scully, how you doing tonight?
Everything's good. Glad to be here.
What's up, Scully Mercer, man?
Yeah, man, how you been, Ray?
I'm doing good, brother.
Scully.
What's up?
Great article.
What's up?
Great article.
Yeah, which one?
The last one that I posted on the page.
Oh,
the
interview
boxing.
I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The interview I did. Yeah, thank you very much, thank you.
Okay, JK.
It was a pause in between there for a minute. I was wondering if everybody
yeah,
was still on.
JK puts you on and disappeared. So we got the champ on, and we haven't had you back in a while, Scully. So just give us a quick update on your experience in Arthur Beneviev fight and with looking down the pipeline, and just give us a little update on that situation.
Right. Well, you know, as you know, he won the IBF title, light heavyweight. You know, came out. You know, the guy fought a defensive fight. You know, he realized right away what he was in with in terms of the power. And, you know, the crazy thing is right before the 12th round, like literally when they were walking to the center of the ring, I said to myself, wouldn't it be great if Arthur could stop him in the last round and really put a punctuation mark on this fight? And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, so now, I mean, he's right there. I mean, we got Kovalev in the mix and you know, Sullivan Barrera. There's some good guys at light heavyweight. A couple of the other Russians that are coming up. So it's a good time to be a light heavyweight. And so we're just waiting. I'm just waiting here to get a call from them and see what the next move is.
Excuse me. I have another friend here, Mr. Charles Murray. Is also here to talk with the Merciless One. Ray, how you doing? Can you hear Mr. Murray?
Charles, the natural? Not the natural.
You got the natural.
That's the natural, Charles. What's going on there, boy?
Hey, nothing, man. Just chilling, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good, bro. I'm alive.
So am I. I'm alive, too.
Yeah, Kim still say I'm full of shit though all the time. Hey, you know your boy getting ready to get married.
Who?
Al Cole.
Well, to who?
To, he got a girl, Penny, man. She's sharp, boy. She's sharp.
Yeah. Well, I'm Al's sharp. Supposed to be calling in a couple minutes.
Oh, is he really? Oh.
I just talked to him a little while ago. He said he was gonna call. So yeah, He's deep with that girl. He posts pictures of her 24 hours a day on Facebook.
I'm trying to tell right now. Hey, Charles, he is hooked, line, and sinker. She got his ass. Excuse me, I ain't gonna say no more.
He brought her to the last reunion. Ray, he brought her to the last reunion I did.
Oh, he did? He brings her
everywhere.
He's the
only one that brought his girl. He's the only one that brought his girl.
Oh, my God. You know, Alvin hooked now, boy. I'm telling you, he's hooked.
Yeah,
Charles, I'm telling you, I've been around him. He is hooked, huh?
We're following you.
So am I.
We're following you.
He's following me.
Yeah, both of us.
I told him that was the wrong thing to do. Hey, do as I say, don't do as I do, mama. That's what I'm saying.
No,
don't do that.
Man, that's all good, man. I took 2008.
How you doing, Charles? You been lined up with that one?
I'm good.
That's somebody, woman, hollering. That ain't mine.
No.
Ice cold.
This is ice cold.
What's up?
Cold.
Yeah.
I was talking about. I told him you in love. They said you too late. We already know. They
yeah,
know about Penny. I told them about Penny. What's up? What's going on, Penny?
Well, no, she just went out the door. I don't know where she went.
you and her and get off the phone so you can go chase her. Just let her have a breath. Then let her have a breather.
I'm enjoying my life. My life is good. I enjoy my life. Well, I'm about to find out how much more it is.
So when's the last time all you guys been in the same room together?
A couple of years ago. Well, 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago, we got inducted to the Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame,
right.
Triple Threat.
Yeah.
And we had so many more people than just us. Oh, man, that was a reunion right there, if I ever had one.
Yeah.
And we even got the trainers, even had Tim up there.
Oh, my God. And the mother we used to beat up on, what's his name? We used to beat up on him all the time. The prisoner.
Brad Smith.
I just got married.
Did he?
He did get married.
What was it?
What he married? One of my girls?
He's in the church.
He looked like Holyfield. Mercy.
He looked like Holyfield?
No.
Not to me,
everybody used to think get him mixed up with Holyfield.
Well, I never did.
And me neither. That's why I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say, Cole. I don't know what you was even talking about. You know, Alvin. Hey, Charles. You know, Alvin. Every now and then, he off in left field.
Nah,
he really in left field now. He in love now. Though.
Yeah.
You ain't never seen him like this before. He is. I'm telling you, when you see him, you got to take your jacket off because he's so hot. I mean, it's just burning love.
Is that Ray? Hello, Ray.
Hey, Penny.
Hello, Ray. Hey, how are you?
Oh, Lord. She ain't calling you out to me. But Penny, I ain't got nothing but good things to say about you, though. But I'm talking to the natural now. When I talk to the natural, it's got to be real, and this is real.
Oh.
I don't know how long you've been. How long you've been listening?
How long have I been? I just started listening.
Because there wasn't nothing said before good. You came. Now we can have conversation. Now we can have a conversation. Because you here, Penny. Now we can really talk.
Oh,
hey, are we on a radio show, right? We on a radio show?
Are we live?
Y'all live.
Oh, my God.
You're just letting us talk like,
oh, my God. All right. Well, you know what? When it get like with the triple threat, we this is how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're like, it's like family. It's all family. It's like a family
all
reunion.
Family. We got, it's a family reunion right there.
Scully.
Okay,
Scully,
so we got questions.
Scully, you're the historian here. Why don't you give us a little background on these guys?
Well, let me see. I'll tell you what. The first time I saw Charles Murray, before everybody else saw Charles, was in 1986 at the New England Golden Gloves. He won the New England Golden Gloves. He beat two good kids from New England, Mike Colbert and Pat Ireland. But then when we went to the Nationals, Charles couldn't fight that year because he was from New York and he wasn't technically from New England, so they disqualified him. And I just remember Charles sitting in the room the whole week in bed with the covers up to his chin. You remember that, Charles? You never left the room. You never left the room. You stayed in the room.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I'll tell you what, when Charles really came out, 1987 at the U.S. Championships, and he stopped Skipper Kelp in the first round, which was, at the time, I mean, Skipper Kelp was, you know, Skipper Kelp had one of the best left hooks in amateur boxing history, and he was a National Golden Gloves champ. But Charles came out of nowhere and stopped. But he also beat Anthony Suggs and Bendelli Hinton. You know, he beat a lot of the top guys. But Charles stopped Skipper Kelp, and that's when the rest of the boxing world, the amateur boxing world, knew who Charles was. So that's my memory of
Charles.
Well,
I knew anyways, but they didn't know, but I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, on that level, you know, because nobody stopped Skipper, nobody stopped Bendelli Hinton, you know? So you came out, and then I remember we were in the Nationals in Buffalo. You remember in that train station? It was cold.
It was real freezing.
And I remember you brought your blanket from the hotel. And you were in the dressing room, and you had the blanket wrapped around you. That's how cold it was.
Yeah. You always have been cold. You always have been cold.
But there was no heat. There was no heat in the building. It was freezing.
Where was
it? Like they held it in like an abandoned building.
I would have did the same thing, man. I'd have had the sheets and everything go with it.
Where was y'all? What state?
And that's when Charles won the PAL. He beat Tyrone Washington in the finals in Washington, D.C. And that was it. But
what state
and then
was
we
that
got, at? That was in Buffalo.
Oh. Well, it's always
PAL
cold
Nationals.
In Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, this was very cold. And I remember Cole, you know, in 88, he won the Olympic trials, and he beat Andrew Maynard, and then he lost Andrew in the rematch going to the Olympics.
I didn't lose. They stole it. I didn't lose.
Well, you didn't get the decision. you didn't go to the Olympics. I know that much.
Uh-oh.
But I remember.
But hold on, even that, I can say I didn't even know Charles at that time. And then
yeah.
I looked at his fight afterwards. Charles was more robbed. Charles was robbed like I was. With Todd.
When he
what? With Todd. Who they said beat you, Charles?
Todd Foster.
I don't know.
Right.
Who Todd Foster is?
Todd Foster.
Yeah, that's
yeah, and if you ever look at that, you don't even know. Charles easily beat Ty. Easily.
Yeah, boy, it's part of the game, man. I was there with it. Okay.
But believe it or not, JK, believe it or not, as big as Cole is, believe it or not, him and I were actually in the same weight class, amateurs. We were both 165. He was... you know, he was one of the biggest 165s probably in the whole country. Him and Bomani Parker and
Bomani Parker was big.
Bomani Parker. When the first time I saw Bomani in the Nationals, he was standing next to me in McDonald's, and somebody told me he was in my weight. And I said, no, I'm talking about this guy right here. And they said, yeah, him, he's in your weight. I couldn't believe it. I thought
Bomani
he was 201.
Bomani was tough. He looked big.
Yeah, but he was only 165 when I first met him. He was huge. He was the biggest 165. So it was you were a big 165. Bomani was big.
That was in 84. I don't know. That's when I started 84.
Right, but you were still 165 in 87.
Right.
And
I met
Bomani in 86 when he was 165.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he beat, matter of fact, in the finals, he beat William Guthrie.
Oh, he beat
Guthrie.
Yeah, he beat Guthrie in the National Golden Glove final.
I'm here, JK.
Yeah, you got some questions or observations for some of these great champions that we have on tonight?
I'm just enjoying the ride. I'm loving the conversation, and they educating me on stuff that I didn't know. So I love the behind the scenes, you know, information, the attention to detail.
Yes,
we go back way
deep. Yes, I'll tell you one thing I remember about Ray. The first time
Hey, be careful.
In the ring. Now, what I heard about you, because in 87 you were still in Germany and you won this tournament you won the gold medal in, what's his name, KB. Kevin Bryant lost in the finals to Otis Grant. But in 88, I saw you, the first time I saw you fight, you fought Ike Padilla in the national championships. Remember Ike from New York?
Ike, it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember because I asked Cole if I can beat him, and Cole told me I should knock him out.
Yeah, you did stop
him.
I
told him, Mercer, I should beat him. I said, I'll beat him. If I beat him, you should easily knock him out. And Mercer went on to the Nationals and knocked out everybody. If I told Mercer that he's going to beat him, I asked him about
every opponent that I had to fight. Because I was from Germany. I didn't know nobody. So Cole,
you
I went to
Mike
Cole Bitt to ask him about everybody. Huh?
You fought Michael Bent?
Yeah, I fought him twice.
Yeah.
He didn't know Michael Bent because he was overseas in Germany.
Yeah, he ain't know me. I ain't know him. He ain't know me. So Michael Bent
named
me.
Michael
Bent
was
much.
A man, though.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. I was just from Germany.
Marcus
I didn't know he was a man.
Man.
I thought I was a man.
He was.
Man, I ain't no shit. I thought I was the man. Shit, that's what I proved too. I whooped that ass.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna say that. Michael Bent was a great fighter, and he was. I didn't know of him that he was gonna be, you know, the heavyweight representing the United States for, you know, in the Olympics. So I knew he was the top man and all that. That's why I was at the top of my game when I did fight him. I knew I had to be straight, but he was an excellent boxer, and you know, he's a great fighter, man. He would have represented us well, but
yeah,
I was just coming along.
Man.
Yeah, he was tough.
Yeah,
he was like you, Charles. Because... Nobody messed with you.
Michael Bent was in a movie with me also. Michael Bent played
Yes, sir. Yeah, listen. Yeah, I got an appointment here, so I'm going to let you guys take over. And it's good talking to you. And I'll be seeing you guys next time, all right? Cole,
all right,
Ray,
my man.
Let's touch base with you.
All
right, Ray. Be good.
All right.
Okay, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Scully's historian and great friend of the show, and you know, I knew he would have some history on you guys and make sure you guys could connect up. But yeah, go ahead. You know, educate us, young guys. Tell us, you know, like what was it like? I mean, you know, you guys came up doing, you know, the smoke filled rooms and you know and all that. I mean, you know, you guys are not only you know just great champions, but you're also pioneers in the sport. Like you were talking about, man. Look, I spent some of the coldest nights I've ever had in my life in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
So you got, hey, when you talk about taking blankets and sheets and stuff to the fight in Buffalo, man, look, I can definitely relate. But you know, Ray, what was I guess your most memorable moment in the ring? You know, when you finally decided that you know you were going to be the next world champion.
When I became the world champion, when I fought, because I don't like to remember that, because I got him with a punch that I was just practicing on, one punch knockout, and when I was getting my butt with the whole nine rounds, it was Francisco Damiani.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but my most memorable fight, huh?
That was a good fight, man. He was touching a lot. He just had the one shot, the uppercut shot. The shot, up shot.
The one I practice all the time.
Yeah, it was a good shot, though. It was a nice
That's
shot.
When I called him. I called him right in the top. Yeah. I didn't know he was even knocked down. When he fell down, I was happy in the mug. I was head weak champ of the world.
I think what happened is he ripped, he caught the tip of his nose, and
yep.
it ripped his nose.
But that
skin.
Was a punch. Remember, Charles, the first time I ever threw that punch in a fight, I was getting my butt whooped the whole nine rounds, and I just said,
yeah.
I'm going to just throw something that I was practicing on. I just
yeah.
I
yeah,
threw something that I was just working
fight.
On and caught
yeah,
him with
it,
too.
Shot,
that
was really good success, too.
I remember,
Charles, this is one thing you used to say. There's no such thing as a lucky punch. You said,
yeah,
I meant to throw the punch. I meant to hit him. And I hit him.
Yeah.
How lucky that can be.
That's true. But I ain't say lucky punch.
No, that's what some people say because you was down on all the scorecards.
Yeah, but the merciless one did not say tonight that I was lucky in that. I practiced that punch.
You always have a punch.
You've
got to touch again. Everybody
knows Cole, you know, I hit you with it about three times.
but I didn't go down.
No, because you were my boy. That's why you ain't go down. If you weren't my boy, you'd have been going down. Let me tell you.
Yeah, you'd be trouble a couple times.
One time.
Now, I'm just kidding. Cole, I used to hate sparring you, boy, because you just a workhorse. You question everything that they tell you to throw. Every time they tell you to throw something, you're going to throw just opposite.
Yeah, that's true.
He knew it, don't he? You can't teach Cole nothing. Cole used to tell the trainers how to tell him how to throw a punch.
I was crazy.
He would question everything. He would question everything. He would question the trainer. He would question the trainer why he's right-handed.
I had to learn the hard way. You gotta prove
yeah,
it. It's like almost Missouri, the Show Me State. You're not telling me something.
I'm
just gonna do it.
Yeah, but I'm gonna tell you what. He got somebody now that he can't even. He would not even speak back to now. Knows
well,
everything. Yep. That's Penny.
Mean?
Hey, Penny. Penny.
Everybody got something.
Oh, hey, girl.
I don't need to speak back. She just everything's okay, so I don't need to speak back. She tell me
what
to do.
Yeah,
well,
that's good. I'm happy for you, man. But
yeah,
I'm
that's real, real good, man. I'm happy too.
That's a good thing.
Gentlemen, I want to kind of go around and get your opinion on some of the up and coming guys, some of the newer guys out here.
I don't know none of them.
That's what I'm saying, Charles. I don't know none of them either. He asked me about a fight last night, and I didn't know who the hell was fighting. I knew Cotto was fighting.
Cotto was fighting. He fought
Ali.
He fought Ali.
Oh, he was beating
yeah,
good.
But first,
yeah. Who won the fight? Who won?
Saddam Ali won the fight. Unanimous decision. They gave every round from round 8 to 12. But I think that's something that, you know, when you guys say that you don't follow the heavyweight fight, you know, like you do, is there a reason for that? Do you think go ahead.
Somebody TV
like
up or something like that?
I like that she's scared to 130. I like to watch him. What's the 130 pounder name?
Lomachenko.
Yeah, he's tough.
Well,
I watch him a lot. He's tough.
But you really don't see it really, because today it looks like the people that are training fighters are not coaches. There's people that hung around boxers, and now they become coaches.
Well, I don't know too much, but I love to tell him he's a nice fighter. I love to watch him. He's nice. He's nice, Ice.
Yeah. I heard a couple of names, but you really don't really see no one really stand out. That's probably why the whole amateur teams.
It's a one do one fight, 1-4, 105. He's tough too.
Do you think that's because of a lack of an amateur program? Like when you guys came up, is the reason why the casual fan has kind of lost his interest in modern day? Because
we don't.
No,
I think
the guys. Some guys are skillful, but just gotta watch them. That's all. Everybody get the same exposure as other guys.
I think what the trainers are doing now is not, you know what I'm saying? I think that's where the problem lies in the trainers, because now they want to do all this Floyd Mayweather mitt work and all that, you know, then to just work on them with doing all that. That shit is crazy. Excuse me, my friends. But that shit is crazy. I go to all these boxing matches, amateur boxing matches now, and I see the trainers warming them up doing that mess. You ain't learning nothing with that.
No one is learning the basic boxing. Everybody is like everybody in arithmetic. No one's trying to do the simple adding and subtracting. They're trying to jump up to division and fractions already. They can't do this stuff they're doing like when Mayweather, people don't realize Mayweather started out boxing straight regular. You know,
yeah,
his hands
he's special
up
too, though. He's also a special dude, though. A lot of
that was good, though. That was good,
like
though.
But every big champ, people try to follow. Like, at one point, everybody tried to fight like Mike Tyson. Or everybody tried to fight like Roy Jones at one point.
And Mercer's Ray Mercer, too. And Charles the Master went out like his gold.
But see, everybody don't have the power. Everybody has the power of Ray Mercer. So every heavyweight team, Ray Mercer was a prime example of a heavyweight puncher. When you knew Mercer, you knew you're going
to
get hit.
Mercer can take it, too, though. The big kids, Mercer can take it. A lot of people can't take it. He can take it, yeah.
Yeah, they thought I could take it, but I really,
we
don't. It's one. Oh my God! Did you say Bert Cooper? I'm about to fall out on the floor right now.
Yeah, man, but you, that was a heck of a fight, man.
You mentioned him. My face started hurting automatically when you said that shit. My jaw just swelled up. My jaw and my lip. I got knee stitches in my lip. All that with that one. I spent 2 days in the hospital after that fight.
But Mercer, all his fights was very exciting. Every fight with Mercer was almost like a classic. You could go back and look at him and Lennox Lewis, him and Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, and Bert Cooper. All of them was big classic fights. Those fights were going to be shown forever.
He's
probably like four or five heavyweight champions, Mercer.
Yeah.
You finally
Tommy
Boston.
Charlie, shut up, Charlie. What about y'all fights? Talk about y'all fights.
You the heavyweight. You the man, Mercy. You the man.
Cole was always jealous because I was a man. I don't want to do that now. We older now. He's 50 years old now.
I just want the front seat.
You know what? Oh, hey, Charles. Oh, my God. I ain't even tell Cole. Me and Cole tight. We tight. It's like the brother I never had right there. Both of y'all are.
You know what? But the great thing about all of us, we always aspired to be the best. It wasn't jealousy. We all wanted to outdo each other, and we all became champs.
Yeah,
that's what we all want to do. It isn't out to do with any envy. We all just aspired to do the best. And we all
Charles, yeah. I told you he in love. Penny, what's up, girl?
Penny, you hear me?
Ray,
that was a good one.
You were talking about the art of teaching and training. One of the things that we've always discussed on this program is the difference between a trainer and a teacher. Coming up in the teaching with some of the kids, like, you know, we're talking of Freddie, Angelo, Emmanuel. What were some of the biggest differences that you find between the old trainers, the newer generation?
To me, the newer generation seem to coach themselves. I don't think the guys now they seem to coach themselves.
And they don't listen to their coaches. That's what it is.
Yeah.
They really don't listen. It's just like
they want to tell you how to teach them.
It's like the younger generation of kids, where kids don't respect the elders or don't listen to the adults. It's the same way with the coaches. Coaches tell them to do something, they don't think they want to listen. They don't have to listen. And like even for some of the basic things of just simply running, a lot of these kids don't want to go running.
Yeah. Gotta run. Yeah, I agree.
Everybody just want to come in and fight.
Do pad work.
Yeah, they don't want to practice. The main thing is box. When we go to the gym, we practice. That's what it is. We practice. And everybody just want to go in and just hitting the bag is not practicing. You got to actually practice. People just hit the bag and think they working. No. You gotta practice.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, you know you sound. You sound like you, Alvin Iverson. Practice. That's what I was thinking about. I'm like, damn, we're talking about boxing or basketball. What the hell is going on?
Well, we can talk about basketball. We can tell them how good you was in basketball, remember? At the Olympic, at all army training camps and
You was a man, Cole. You was tall and all that.
No, that was cool. Sucking basketball.
Well, and Charles, you was Mr. Basketball, Charles.
Yeah, that's my game.
Charles was Mr. Basketball. That mother right there, boy. I'm gonna tell you what. It's an ugly thing when you drive when I'm in there.
Was with Ray Jones. Al, he can shoot. But Al,
he can. He can. Yeah.
He shoot half court.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's where we well, that's where Roy Jones at the time. Up at
yeah,
Timber
that dude.
Yeah.
That's when I hurt my ankle. I was supposed to fight Tommy Morrison. People don't even know about that one. But he pulled out that fight because he got hurt. So mine didn't even come out. I had time to heal before I fought him.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know about that. And I tried to lie. Come on,
oh,
I fell
Alfred
down the
Smith.
Stairs.
It was Alfie Smith. It was Alfie Smith.
Oh, yeah, that's him. That was him. He can shoot. They all play, man.
I mean,
we got some good games.
Like,
we had some good games playing basketball with Roy Jones and Al and me,
yeah,
Cole and Al.
Yeah.
Well, we used to get down.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I remember at one time HBO had a special. It was like Roy team versus Pernell Whitaker team. And I was on Roy team, and matter of fact, Pernell Whitaker had bought Evander Holyfield. That's when we was in Pensacola.
Yeah, well, I went down there one time.
Yeah, that's the time y'all saw me walking. Remember, I was supposed to be running.
I heard Wilma killed you too, Ice Cold.
What?
Yeah, I heard Wilma killed you down there.
Who?
Ice Cold.
What?
Bob and Roy.
No,
Spawn with Roy?
Yeah, well, you Spawn with Roy.
Yeah, I think I do remember that, Cole.
No, that was Maurice. That was Maurice.
Huh?
That was Maurice.
No,
we're
talking about down in Florida. When we went to Florida, right?
Right,
yeah.
He's
probably down there, boy. Ray Spider, I spotted way down in Great Gorge.
Oh, you talking about Great Gorge?
Yeah, I spotted way down there.
I wish I'd have seen that. I ain't seen that shit.
Roy
is fast. Yeah, his man Smoke.
Yeah. But Smoke
Gary
Gaynor. Derek Gaynor, yeah, Smoke.
Yeah, there again.
Yeah, we did put Mr. I think Coach Murray put where with me.
Ray, have you seen this year's Hall of Fame?
Have you seen this year the 2018 list for the nominees for the Hall of Fame?
Which one?
No, I haven't seen it.
The big one in Conestoga. You know the big
oh,
one.
Oh no, I ain't seen that. I know I ain't on it.
I don't know that. It's just a matter of time. I think Michael Moore might be on this one, I'm sure.
Michael Moore on this one.
No, I don't have the list in front of me right now.
This one is Michael Moore.
When is it? Well, I mean, what month?
That's in June, I think, ain't it?
Marshall, when you going up in Atlantic City? When is yours?
That's June.
Coming up.
So they.
Huh.
It's coming up.
So they do it every state around June?
Yeah, I think that's the Canastota thing is a little different. Atlanta City is like the first.
Why they put you in without us?
Why didn't they put me in with y'all?
Yeah.
When? What? What y'all in? What you talking about? New Jersey?
When is New Jersey?
Okay. Ray, here's a partial list that I'm looking at now. Nigel Benn, Ivan Calderon, Donald Curry. Vitaly Klitschko, Julian Jackson. Melvin Taylor.
Oh, that's cool.
Who else? Winky Wright.
Oh, wow. They're putting a lot of people in, huh?
Michael Moore, Morales. Right?
Yeah. Ricky Hatton.
Wow.
I beat Michael Moore as an amateur. We fought him.
Yeah, but he was really killing the trolls.
Yeah.
He played too early, I think, but really not for him.
Tasmanian Devil, Vinny Pazienza, he's up for nomination, too.
Oh, Vinny Paz.
See, I just watched that movie not too long. It was a nice movie.
Oh, yeah. I gotta check it out.
I gotta go get my baby, fellas.
Huh?
I gotta go get my daughter.
Before you leave, Charles, I'm gonna tell you, matter of fact, I just got a call to do one in New York too, of New York State, for the Hall of Fame. I wanted to tell you that much.
Oh yeah.
Yes, this year I'm going to be inducted to the Hall of Fame in New York State.
Oh, yeah? Oh, when?
Same time. No,
oh.
June.
Oh, man, that's good, Cole. Shit. All right.
You did it again.
You getting a ring?
After yours, Mercy, you just got to come up to mine.
I will. I'll be right there, Cole.
New York City.
Yeah, no, we ain't know.
I want to go together.
We ain't talking. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just put it together.
Charles, how you going to sit up and tell us now?
Yeah, now, he in there already.
It was on Facebook.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, I'm in something that y'all don't know about, too.
Hey guys. Well, anyway, man. Look, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us and talking smack with the Merciless One. I thought it would be nice, just to spend a few minutes or just talking about old times. Of course, like history lessons. Ray, I want you to stick around a little bit longer because I want you to tell us a little bit about some of the projects you have going on. But right now, Ice and Al, why don't you tell us where we can find you on Facebook, any projects you might have going on. And, hey, thank you guys so much for taking the time to be with us today.
For sure, man. Take care. Hey, Bert, I'm going to holler at you. I'll call you.
Okay.
All right, Bert. Take care.
All right, bro.
All right, see you good.
All right, natural.
All
right. Well, look, I'm going to let y'all go and let Mercer handle the business, but one thing
I'm just asking a question, Cole.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I'm training a few fighters. I'm very particular because a lot of these fighters don't want to listen or think they could do it. Then I just tell them to glove up and get in the ring with me. And if I can still handle you and easily beat you, you don't need to be in there doing it. And so I do a lot of
man, you still big, dude. I mean, you got experience on all of them.
Right, and I stay in shape.
Yeah,
just
you
in
do
case
stand
you don't
there.
Believe me.
Yeah. I wouldn't be sparring no more, though.
Yeah, but I give him that old Mercer jab, so I just realized that Mercer jab still holds on.
Yeah,
like that last one, that jab.
But every 15 jabs, you're going to get hit one time.
Yeah. So, but I really don't do that much, but I do a lot of personal training. Oh, and my name is just Al Cole on Facebook, C-O-L-E. It's not Alfred Cole, it's just Al Cole. And I just trained.
You can definitely look for a following from the show, so look for us to make sure that we follow you on Facebook.
All right, you definitely follow. I'm always be speaking up on Mercer on his Facebook sometime also. But y'all take it easy and go ahead and tell him what's right. All right.
All right, Alvin.
Peace.
Talk to you later, man. All right.
Peace.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. But Ray, I have been talking with some of your people, namely Mr. Nick Sampson, along with Layman and Chris Bird. And I know you guys have some projects in the fire, especially as far as the relief for the fighters in Puerto Rico. So you want to tell us about some of the things that you guys have going on, the cigars and whatnot?
Yeah, well, we got Fire Temp Cigars. The names that you didn't mention was Riddick Bowe and James Tony. We're all in every Fire Temps. I mean, it's hardly anywhere you can go in the world and have five heavyweight champs in the world, of the world, in one place, in one building. And that's what we do, man. We're going around and, you know, we're trying to raise, you know, money for the people in Puerto Rico. And like you said, we have the cigar line that we're doing right now. We have the Fire Champ cigars. We all have our own cigars. They're all rolled. They're all the fine cigars. They are fine cigars. And we also have, a reality show that we, somebody just picked up that we're going to be doing. I don't have too many details on that, but, you know, if you talk to Nick, then you should know, a little more than that, a little more about that than I do. He just told me, I just found out that we, somebody just picked us up for a reality show. I don't know the details or anything right now, but it's all a good thing. We got a lot of things going on, man. I also have a foundation, Find a Dream. You can just go to findadream.org and you can, catch up on that. And also Kicking It Bullying. It's a bullying fundraiser thing, the charity thing that I do that I've been with now for at least 3 years. And, we support that because we don't like bullies. So we try to teach the kids what to do in case, you're getting bullied. A lot of people that, they have a little conflict with what I say you should do, but I think it's the only way is to fight back and, or tell somebody to fight back. I tell somebody first, and that don't work, then you got to do what you got to do. And I tell you what, once you stand up to a bully, then it'll probably be the last time that you be bullied by that person. That's what we try to do with the bullying thing.
Yeah, it's great to see gentlemen such as yourselves giving back, and not just to the community, but also realizing where you came from and how important it is to give back to the youth. Once again, I commend you. DeBron, any final words for the champ before we let him go?
I'm just wondering why, with a great personality that you have, that we don't see your face more on television.
We're working on that right now as we speak. We're working on that. Like I said, we got a reality show coming up. We're going to be on TV. It's going to be great. And, other things are going to spiral from being, just on that reality show. Then other things happen also. And like I said, we got five champs in the house. You'll never have five heavyweight champs in the house at one time, but we have it. We have that. We have our cigars. We have We have T-shirts. We have everything.
And one last thing, Champ. What's your opinion on the state of the heavyweight division right now?
I think it's getting better than it was 2 years ago. I love Anthony Joshua. I think him and Klitschko put on, you know, one of the best fights we've seen in a long time, you know, since back in the day. And, you know, that gives the heavyweight division hope. You have a couple of other heavyweights out there that, you know, they'll be all right. I think you got Deontay Wilder. He's a little wild fighter, but he came along at the right time because all of us was already gone. I'm telling you, we got swallowed up by us. But I think he would have got swallowed up, I'm telling you. Anthony Joshua, like I said, and you know the Klitschko's already there. They already speak for themselves. They are the great champions. Klitschko was a great champion. Anthony Joshua's coming along now, you know, taking over the ring. So, and I like him because he got knocked down, he got up, and he fought. He won. So I think he's a plus to the heavyweight division.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, and hopefully we can have you again. And wishing and hoping that everything works out great for you guys, the champs, and hopefully the fans will see your face on the tube soon. And I'm just wishing you the best going forward. Thanks again.
Okay, appreciate you having me on, man. I look forward to the next time.
All right, you have a great night, champ.
All right, man, thanks. You too.
Well, that was a little something extra there. Spending a little time with the Merciless One. Always good to have a champions back in you know, your cause, your show, and realizing you know that they're still able to make a contribution to society, and you know, they're not just people that are known as former world champions. They still have lives. They still can contribute, and they're still willing to give back to the community. Jabron, it's been a while, man, since you and I have had a chance to kick it. So I'm going to kind of let you start out here, man. We have so many different things to talk about since the last time we've been on. So where you want to start, man?
We started the conversation with Cotto, so we'll just finish wrapping that up. You know, the Cotto Saddam Ali, what we experienced last night. As you know, Cotto is basically riding off into the sunset. For Saddam Ali, it's a lot of questions there, JK. First, what would you like to see Mr. Saddam Ali do? Would you want him to maintain his status at the WBO champion at 154, or would you want to see him go back down to 47 and challenge those champions?
Right now, I think that his victory last night could be both a curse and a blessing. And I say that because I don't see him going back down to 147, but I'm not sure that he has the chin or the experience to stay at the higher weight. Just like, you know, Cotto had said many months ago that you know, he was no longer a middleweight. I'm not sure that Ali is comfortable at that weight class. Like you said, you know, he came in at 153. I believe that was the heaviest that he's ever fought. I thought he sacrificed some of his speed. And clearly, he doesn't right now know how to sit down on his power, which is why I think Cotto was a good test, but I don't think that I really don't think he should go back down. But I don't see him progressing much further in the higher weight class.
Well, with that being said, he does have some options at 54. And to just give you a little update on that, someone is close to the show in the past, Mr. Austin Trout, called out Saddam Ali post-fight last night, scratching at an opportunity to become a champion again. What would you think a fight with Austin Trout and Saddam Ali, far as we're not talking about butts and seats, we're just talking about the technical matchup?
The technical matchup I like. Austin brings that experience, and he also, let's face it, at this stage in his career, Austin is not gonna really threaten anybody with his power. He's a good, he's another 12 round fight, just like I think Cotto would be, I think that would be a good fight on Saddam's resume, but I'm not sure how much it would improve his stock in that division. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, he's a viable opponent, but when you talk about, when you talk about other than butts and seats, yes, he's a very good opponent, and it might be somebody like that that Ali needs to make his bones. I mean, come on, look, Cotto, Trout, it sounds impressive on your resume.
Most definitely, but there is someone that want to probably add a couple of dollars to Saddam Ali's pocket to grow his fan base, his notoriety, and possibly for his opponent to capture a belt. And when I say that, I'm speaking of Mr. Kell Brook. Uncle Eddie Hearn put out today that he would like to stage that fight with Kell Brook and Saddam Ali for that belt, possibly in the UK. What's your thoughts on that, JK?
Now that sounds very intriguing, very very intriguing. And just as you said, that I pulled up the Ring magazine site, and the first thing that popped out to me was Errol Spence Jr. and Lamont Peterson, and it kind of, I kind of thought the same thing when we were just talking about Austin Trout and Saddam Ali. Yeah, the young lion, Saddam Ali, the older and a more experienced lion. In this case, Cotto or Trout. And now you have Errol Spence Jr. and Lamont Peterson. This is what I mean when I said, in some ways, Saddam could be caught between a rock and a hard place, in the sense that he could actually kind of wait for the winner of either of these fights. And I'm sure either one of them would be willing to meet him. I'm sure Errol Spence would meet him at 147, and like you said, Trout is already calling him out at 154. So, either one of these could be a notch in Ali's belt. I wouldn't try to mess around with Spence right now, but either one of them, I'm sure would be willing to fight him.
But the likes of Kell Brook making his 54th debut in a title fight possibly against Ali, that could be a great thing for Kell Brook. But if he loses, that could also be his third straight loss. And that could definitely be the down spiral of his career if he did choose to take that fight.
What's in it for Ali though? I mean, suppose he, you know, I'm sure he's not going into the fight losing, you know, thinking that he's going to lose. But is this one of those high risk, low reward, or do you think a win or a loss to Kell Brook, either one would look good on his resume?
It'll be good. In my opinion, it'll be good, the simple fact, because if they have the fight in the UK and he puts on a gutsy performance but loses, he will gain fan base in the UK. And there are other people that Eddie Hearns could plug Saddam Ali in there. We could say Liam Smith, Liam Walsh, the gentleman that just fought Liam Smith in a rematch. There's a couple of other gentlemen out there at the 54-pound division that Eddie Hearn could possibly match Saddam Ali up with. That also would have to mean them dealing with a Golden Boy. So that all depends on what De La Hoya wants to carry Saddam Ali, because if I'm not mistaken, Saddam had to take a 2-fight deal with De La Hoya to get that Cotto. And you never know. De La Hoya likes to, you know, try to protect his investments the best to his ability. But with that being said, it makes you wonder, was the Cotto camp blowing smoke up our tail leading up to this fight? Did they really want the fight with Errol Spence? Did they really want the fight with Danny Garcia? Or did they really want the fight with Mikey Garcia? Because if you look at the performance last night, Mikey Garcia would have outboxed Cotto. Danny Garcia and Errol Spence would have knocked Cotto out based upon that fight last night. So do you think they was just utilizing that as a strategy to try to gain people attention, their eyes on the fight?
Oh, most definitely. I think this was a very shrewd move by Cotto. I mean, when you look at all of the different things that he and Roc Nation went through and the management problems before that, I think this was very much calculated. I think the only thing that didn't play up the script was the outcome. I kind of thought that most people feared that if it came down to a decision, that the judges would rule for the more popular Cotto. I don't think they really, you know, and I'm not going to say it was a hometown favorite or anything like that, but the kid, Ali, has skills. I mean, you know, he's been a New York Golden Gloves champion, so it's not like, you know, the boy was chopped liver, but I think that they really intended for Cotto to ride out on that white horse. And like you said, you know, the other two guys that you mentioned, I think two of them would have at least knocked him out. Like you said, Mikey would have definitely outboxed him. So, I think this was a kind of a smoke screen. And the only thing that, like I said, didn't fit the script was the outcome. But speaking of something that, you know, I smelled a little fish in the water, and I don't know whether you were aware of it or not, but we have another ruling here by the WBC as far as Mr. Luis Ortiz. And it kind of seems, I guess maybe is the timing is what seems kind of suspicious to me. All of a sudden now, the WBC is saying that the medication that Luis Ortiz was on was simply for high blood pressure, and they lifted the ban. Something smell fishy to you here, man, or is it just me?
Well, I understand that he has a medical condition, to my understanding, but even if that's the case, a rule has been broken, meaning they did not give the correct documentation on the VADA testing documents. They didn't give the correct information on the documents going into the testing. So, you know, that they still broke the law. Prime example, if you're driving down the highway and the police pull you over and say, hey, you know the speed limit 55, and I clocked you at 100, and you say to them, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know the speed limit was 55. Is the cop going to be like, all right, well, you know it's 55 now, don't be speeding again, or they're going to write you a ticket? You get what I'm saying, JK?
And take your license and send you to traffic school.
Yeah. Right. You get what I'm saying? So that's how I look at that situation. Like, okay, so you have the condition, but at the same time, you didn't state that. So that's the thing that gets me. And to leave him in the rankings, he's not Joshua WBA mandatory because the WBA dropped him from the rankings, but the WBC left him there. So if that's the case, they could have left the Luis Ortiz fight go because Deontay agreed that he would fight him anyway. But there was penalties. Luis Ortiz's team had to cut a check. So they gain money from the penalty. Then they're going to turn around and gain more money because in order to be ranked, you have to cut a check. Then in his next fight, he's going to have to pay sanctioning fees. So at the end of the day, it's all about money. It's all about money, JK.
Like I said, you know, it just the timing, you know, and like you said, the fact that laws were broken and now you're trying to find, you know, different excuses or different ways around it, it just seems a little fishy. There's another fight that you've been talking about for a while, and you've been very critical of Mr. Lomachenko. It seems now that, you know, it's getting a lot closer. And a lot of people are saying that Lomachenko looks bigger than Rigondeaux. What's your thoughts on this?
You say a lot of people are saying that Lomo looks what?
Bigger.
Okay. My thing is, I mean, he's the bigger guy. He's at 130. Rigondeaux is at 122. So Lomachenko is supposed to be the bigger guy. But something that I've noticed ever since this fight got signed, before this fight got signed, see, you have to listen to what people say then and then what they say now, because it tends to change. Before that fight got signed, Lomachenko was on the internet trolling Rigo, you know, having all these funny little memes, talking all this little junk. But as soon as the fight got signed, we haven't heard nothing from Lomachenko. And me personally, I think they're not doing a great job at pushing this fight, promoting. The only person that I see really doing it promoting is Rigondeaux. him on his social media, every day he has something. Something's buzzing. And the new, what they're calling new media, a lot of the boxing outlets like on YouTube and the bloggers, you know, is giving Rego a lot of credit for actually trying to promote the fight. I find something that's interesting that came out the other day in an article where Lomachenko said more of a 50-50 fight. He doesn't have an advantage over Rigondeaux. He don't feel that he's the bigger guy. Him and Rigondeaux are pretty much the same size. And when I read that, I kind of cringed because it's like, is he preparing to make an excuse if he lose already? That doesn't sound like confidence to me, where you're already trying to build an excuse to basically say, oh, Rigondeaux is, we're the same size, and you know, it won't look that bad if he lost to, it'd be like, hey, I lost to a guy, we're the same size, but it'll really look bad if it's like, wow, you lost to a guy that was two weight divisions lower than you, he's small. So what's your thoughts on that, JK? Do you think that's a way of trying to build an excuse?
I don't want to say it's a way to kind of to try to build any excuse, but I do find the timing very sensitive. Like you said, you know, it seemed that the only one that's really trying to do any promotions as far as you know, this fight is concerned, since it's been signed, is Rigondeaux. And I would have thought that Lomachenko and his camp would have kind of made this his second coming out party, considering, you know, the reputation of Rigondeaux and the Cuban program and the whole kind of mystique. Now, the one thing that I was apprehensive about is probably how much action we're going to see. You know, if will Lomachenko be able to, you know, will he be able to move forward against a very good defensive-minded Rigondeaux, or is this going to be another one of those kind of boring situations that we usually have with Rigondeaux? And I think this is possibly what they might be trying to prepare the public for, is that this might not be the action-packed or whirlwind type of action-packed fight that we think it's going to be, and they might turn it into a boring, dull type of chess match. Whereas I think this really, I don't see a potential of it having that event type atmosphere, if you know what I mean. Good boxing match, but will it reach event status? I don't think so.
Well, let's step over a little bit. Just staying with this fight, the politics of the boxing. Now, Rego posted about a week, maybe 2 weeks ago now, about what the WBA ruled on. Basically, they said if Lomachenko beats Rigondeaux and Rigondeaux goes back to 122, he would lose his belt and his rankings. Now, that's not fair, just because, yeah, he might not be dealing with a big, great promotional company or promoter, things of that sort. But we just saw Kell Brook move up two weight divisions to fight Triple G, lose the fight, come back down, still keep his belt, and fight Errol Spence for the belt. They didn't take him out of the ring. Same sanction, WBA, same sanction and body. They didn't take him out of the ring. They didn't strip him of his belt. They actually gave him an extension. So what's your thoughts on that, JK?
Once again, you know, I hate to refer back, you know, to our expert, but Layman has expressed his opinion on that on more than one occasion. And this, I really think, when it comes to protection, complexion, all of that, I think this really applies here because it's not going to be vice versa. If Lomachenko can lose this fight and still his stock would not, I don't think would go up and up or down. Simply behind the way that they've already established Lomachenko. What was it? His second fight, his second professional fight was a title fight already. So, I mean, you know, they've already told you what their projections are. This is our next Triple G of the lower weight classes. And, you know, this is who we intend to promote, and this is the way it's going to be. Now, you know, I think there's a lot of competition down in those lower weight classes, and I don't think a lot of those guys, other than Roman Rigondeaux, would be punished if this was, like you said. To me, this is definitely punishment. Why would you expect Rigondeaux to start all over again?
But the same sanctioning body, Kovalev lost to Andre Ward not once, but twice, back to back. He comes back 4 months later and fights for the title. And now he's a champion and already has a fight scheduled for March 3rd, 2018.
And you're surprised by what?
I'm not surprised. I'm just a little ticked because it's just not fair. But segue into Kovalev, I understand that things were going on your side of the United States. You know, thoughts and prayers was out for you and your family. But if you did get the chance to see Kovalev return, what was your thoughts on it? JK? Oh, okay.
I thought this was another one of those situations that was very poorly handled. Especially, you know, I don't see, you know, not only did you bring Kovalev back, but you also brought him back wearing a white hat. I didn't understand that was kind of the one that really threw me for a loop. You know, whereas now, you know, all of a sudden we have the language barrier, this, that, you know. All of the things that we talked about before when we were talking about Virgil Hunter, John David Jackson, it seems like all of these things now have kind of come to full circle, and everything that we heard has been substantiated, but what doesn't seem to have taken a beating was Kovalev's popularity.
Something that stuck out to me that I haven't I haven't seen on any media outlet. I covered that fight thoroughly. And the two Andre Ward fights, especially going into the second one, you heard Kovalev talk about, you know, son of devil and all this nonsense. And, but you notice all of a sudden, Kovalev has found God. He said, I would like to thank God. This is the same person that said that he didn't understand what, you know, what Andre, you know, this son of God, and he praying to somebody. This is the same guy that was talking about basically there's no such thing as God. But that was in his post-fight speech. Oh, I would like to thank God, you know, it helped turn my life around. What? Hold on. When? And something else, I watched the interview of Virgil Hunter after the fight, and he pointed out that watching that fight, he felt good. He felt that was a way that Kovalev thanked Andre Ward and Virgil Hunter in that fight. He pointed out some things. When he knocked Shabransky down and Shabransky got up, what did Kovalev do differently that he never done in the past with the hurt fighter? What he did was he went directly to the body. He to set up the over right hand. When was Kovalev setting up the over right hand with the body shot when he hurt people? Normally, he will head hunt you. So Verge pointed that out. I went back and watched it thoroughly, and he was correct. Kovalev focused more on the body attack, not just throwing his 1-2 and setting you up with his jab. He was going to the body. He fought better on the inside. So that was Kovalev's way of saying thank you. So did you get to see the fight?
I did get to see it, not that night, but I did get the chance to watch it. And like you said, I mean, the way that he was kind of accepted back, it was almost like the prodigal son that came home, like you said, you know, son of God, the whole nine yards. That was kind of what I thought when I said I held the boxing world as being kind of hypocritical. Hey, DeBron, man, thanks so much for spending this Sunday evening, man. Hope we can spend a few more. We got a great show lined up on Tuesday. We're going to have Mr. Brian there again. I think I'm going to try to see if we can get Mr. Clary back on. If possible, I'm going to try to see if we can get Mr. Rozier on, also Saddam's trainer. So I'm going to see if I can work on that tomorrow. And thank you so much, my man. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media and anything or causes that you might want to let the audience know about?
I'd like to thank the audience and all our guests that we had tonight. Man, that was just great to have those legendary gentlemen on the show tonight. Thank you, JK, for having me as always. And shout out to our champ, Layman Brewster, that couldn't be here tonight, but he's here in spirit with us. And thanks, Scully, for popping in and stirring the pot for us. It was such a great night. Just keep supporting boxing. This week, Lomo, Rego, somebody got to go. So tune in. Keep supporting boxing. I'm Jabron Clemens. You can find me on Facebook. That's JABRANCLEMON on Facebook. JK, let the fans know where they can find you.
Well, you can find us on Facebook on the Pugilist Corner, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter under West Coast Steeler Fan.
We thank you so much for your time tonight. Thank the Merciless One and his friends, Mr. Al Cole, as well as Scully. And we look forward to bringing you some more champions on as the opportunity presents itself. So thank you, everyone. And don't forget to catch us Tuesday on the Pugilist Corner. And have a great night. We'll see you next week.